Good morning, all. Well, I'm back. I'm actually live today. Had plenty of issues with the internet over the last couple of days. So I was today we are in Stilling John, and today we start chapter 9. Well, actually, today will be all chapter 9. It's basically the same story. It's all about the blind man that Jesus heals. And again, Pharisees, I find it rather interesting how many times the Pharisees, actually, how many times Jesus actually healed on the Sabbath. And it really almost intentionally trying to upset the religious elites of that day. But the picture we got here again is still the temple. He's still in the temple area. John, I guess, spent a lot of time talking about the stories of the temple area. So start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. We get to spending your word, and it can help us to see something new, something that we need in our lives today. And that you can we'll give you all the glory for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Jump right in because it's a little bit longer today than usual. It's basically the whole chapter 9. I'm trying to divide it up, but it's really just about it's all about the story of this blind man. So as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And so I thought I would have a few verses here. This is basically I'm going to address this whole idea of sin, and I got a few verses here that they hear that they're curious if this man has sinned, that's why he's blind, or was it because his parents were had sinned? And Jesus will explain a little bit further, but picked out some verses, and what I thought of is David. David, being if you remember that he did some bad things, and I think it's a beautiful psalm. I'm only going to read a few verses of it, but Psalm 51 is David pouring out his heart to the Lord that he had sinned and asking for forgiveness. And I think it's a great way of realizing that we're all sinners from birth. I think that's what Jesus is going to be driving at. But I guess read a few verses. A Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, having mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of my tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And of course, I recommend if you're ever feeling like you need to see how to repent. Later on, Jesus actually, I mean, God actually indicates that David was a man after his own heart. And I always thought it was because, mainly because of, not that he didn't sin, but that he knew he did and that he wasn't trying to lay blame on anyone else but himself and that he repented. So Psalm 51 is a great psalm for that. I recommend reading the whole thing. But also the famous verse we all hear very often, Romans 3:23, for all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. we also see over and realizing the origin of sin. And like Isaiah 14, we see here the first person to ever sin and go against God's wishes. Sin really only means to not be in agreement with God. It's basically all it means. And so here in Isaiah, we read Isaiah is telling us about the about Lucifer. How art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So you can see here, it's a definite idea that that Lucifer felt like he had pride and he really wanted to be God, and but he definitely was not somebody that I could see as somebody who I can't think of the right words, but I think you get what I mean. And that they say that pride is usually the root of all of a lot of different sins. So just to finish off in Romans, we started with 3:23. I might as well finish off the famous verses we all love. For the wages of sin is death, but the best part to come. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, just a great thing to know that that's why Jesus came in the first place, and that he died for us, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So back to John, sort of addressed the fact that they were thinking that, you know, that this... I guess what I'm driving at is that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as it says in 3:23. So it's important that we realize. I got my light blinking here too much. I'm wondering if this is going out okay. It looks okay at the moment. Where was I? So again, God provided a solution for us, and that was to send his son to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And thank God he did, that we can now look forward to that day of being in close fellowship with God, something we lost. So Jesus, going on, speaking to the disciples at this point, answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, sometimes we go through trials, not just for ourselves, to strengthen us, but so that we can be a witness to other people around us too. I think that a lot about that, I think testimony is so important, that don't look at our transgressions necessarily as a punishment. In some ways, it's like we've heard before, it's strengthening us to be ready for whatever is coming next in life. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so I would bring up a famous verse in Exodus again, where he says, I am. I think I mentioned this one before, but this is it's why a lot of us believe that Jesus was actually the person that appeared to Moses in the on Mount Sinai. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And you'll notice down through these verses that he uses this reference to, and we'll see later on that the Pharisees didn't even believe, even though they should have known who Jesus was. But I thought I'd reflect back to John 1, 1 through 5, and exactly who Jesus was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is the part that I was commenting about there in John, where he said he came into the light as a light unto the world. But again, here it says, and the darkness comprehended him not. And so it's an indication of what we're going to see here, is that, that those people that don't see who Jesus is really are in darkness. And it, so back to John 9:6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. So maybe take a break here. And actually they've found this pool. And this is what it looks like. They are actually doing some sanitation work in about 2005. And they actually found the area that they believe is the pool itself is that area that they're still excavating, but this is a partial exposure. You can see the dirt still on the side there. And they found all this underneath. And they truly believe this is the pool of Siloam. And the general location, if you can see this map, I don't know how well you can see it, but it's way down the bottom here, near the city of David. And if you take a look at this map, if you blow it up on an actual full-size monitor, you can see it. It's down near the bottom there, where the they call it the Water Gate. I thought I found that interesting. I always love it when they actually find things that are in archaeology, they confirm how true the Bible is. It just to me really confirms that we can believe the whole thing the more stuff they find. Going on in verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. So he confirmed that he was the one that was blind. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. So Jesus had already departed at this point. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes and washed, and I do see. Therefore, says some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And this took me to some verses in John 3, 1 and 2 that I thought about on this verse. You know, it's about Pharisees in general. And this is the famous story of Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles but thou doest, except God be with him. So here Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, realized who Jesus was and recognized who he was. But it seems like there was still a lot of doubt in the hierarchy of this the Pharisees. So back to John 9:17, they said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received the sight. So now they're going to do a little investigation work. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? I kind of like the way the parents respond. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. I love that part. He shall speak for himself. Like, why are you asking me? Ask him. These words spake, but I think that they were also very nervous being the Pharisees had a lot of power. And this verse here tells us, John is telling us that they were concern too. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. In a few minutes, I'm gonna speak on being put out of the synagogue. That was like the worst of the worst when it came to if you were put out of the synagogue, you're basically an outcast, and that you would lose all kinds of privileges by everybody, not just from the temple. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. So in other words, he's not like he can't speak for himself. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. As I mentioned about Nicodemus realized that that if he's performing all these miracles, he has to be a man of God. And only God can do these kind of things. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have already told you. And he did not hear. Wherefore, will ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? It's like we just talked about this 5 minutes ago. Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. And that's why I mentioned that back in Exodus there. Because Moses was a disciple of God also. And probably the same person, Jesus. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Exactly. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opening the eyes of one that was born blind? So they're trying to say, well, this has never happened before, so it's unusual. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Amen to that. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. So again, they cast him out of the synagogue at this point. This is a point where Jesus is going to step back in. And And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. You know, see how simple that was. That he just asked a few questions, and based on the fact that he opened his eyes and that he realized that that this man was who he said he is. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. I had a reference of Ezekiel 12:1 on this in this particular verse. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. That's Ezekiel foretelling the state of Israel at in the future. And that's basically what Jesus is also reiterating there. Back to John 9:40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Well, that brings up, I found a reference in Matthew I want to mention. Matthew 13:11-13 says, He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. This is Jesus talking to the disciples, and if you read the whole story, it's that one where it's the point in time where Jesus decided that he no longer was going to speak. It was when he was the Pharisees called him the devil because he was doing miracles. And at that point on, Jesus had basically given up on him and was only going to speak to him in parables. And so this is where he makes reference to that. So back to Matthew 13:11, he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not. Whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Jesus said unto them, back to John 9:41, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Interesting verse, and I can't say that I really understood fully what he's driving at here. But I think it goes back to what he was talking about there in Matthew. That's why I mentioned it. Is it basically... what was foretold even back in Ezekiel's day was coming to happen, and he gave him a chance to repent. And I truly believe that even though God the Father knew exactly what was going to happen, and that ultimately Jesus would have to die, and that he knew what was going to happen for sure, he still had to at least give them the chance to try to repent and to kind of like the Nineveh story, you know, where Jonah went to Nineveh, and Nineveh realized that they needed to repent, and they did, and so they got reinstated for a while, but ultimately the same thing here, and you know, how many times through the history of the Old Testament do we see God try to get the Israeli people to see that he had to send Jesus to die for us, that somebody had to pay this the ultimate sin, pay by death for our sins. But here the Pharisees were only concerned about rules, and rules, well, a lot of the rules they made up, and so Therefore, from now on, they were going to be blinded. And that, as we'll see later on, that Jesus will also mention that when he comes in on Palm Sunday, we'll talk about that when we get there, but he was basically the last chance for them to realize who he was and what he was there for, but they didn't see it. So, unfortunately, kind of like this whole section, like I was talking about yesterday, spiritual blindness. So that's all I had for today, and close with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these words of wisdom, and that you continue to open up the eyes, Lord, for those who aren't can't see, and that we can be working with you and helping to helping those to see the truth of your word as we go forward, Lord. Help us to share your word with somebody new today. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. And that's all I had for today. Basically, the whole chapter of John 9. Great story. And there's probably tons of other stuff I missed. Feel free anytime, too, that if you want to ask a question or something that you're curious about, maybe I can dig deeper into. I like to think of this as like a Bible study. If you ever have any questions or some suggestions on anything, please put them in the comments and we can talk about them the next time. And by the way, too, last night the service is up on YouTube right now, and I'll post it on Facebook so that people can find it. The internet went down. It finally came back up, I think, about 8:30. And so I'll have that up there today, and it'll also be on the website later today. Okay, everybody have a great day.